With us is Katie Reif, who is the senior writer for the AB Club and former associate producer of the Jerry Springer Show. Holy cow, Katie, how are you?
Hi, how are you? You know, I never used to tell people the Jerry Springer Show part, but, you know, cat's out of the bag now, I guess.
Well, I think people are very interested, too, as a matter of fact. I mean,
oh, sure.
What were you doing before you were associate producer of the Jerry Springer Show?
Well, I was a college senior. It was my first job out of college. Yeah, I grew up in Cincinnati, which is also where Jerry Springer's from.
Right.
And you know, I grew up in the 90s, and talk shows were very much part of the after-school programming when I was in high school. So basically, when I was a senior in college, my friend turned to me and said, wouldn't it be funny if you worked for the Jerry Springer Show? Because I was majoring in like film and television production. Mm-hmm. And I said, haha, yeah, that'd be really funny.
That'd be really hysterical.
Yeah. If any college students are listening to this, don't take a job because you think it would be funny. It's not going to be funny.
But, you know, the Springer Show, come to think of it, was big on college campuses, wasn't it?
It really was. Yeah,
yes, it really was.
Yeah. It was like The Price is Right. It was one of the other things you would watch during the day when you were cutting class, you know.
So what was the process of applying for the job for Springer? Was he doing the show from Chicago at that time?
Yes, it was in the NBC building then. Yeah, uh-huh. And one of the judge shows shot upstairs from us, as I can recall.
Yeah, the judge shows, jeez, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, basically, I sent in my resume. You know, I looked up the office address and just sent in a resume and a cover letter saying, you know, I'm a film and television student from Ohio. And, I got a call just kind of out of the blue at about 6 months later. I was already planning on moving to Chicago, but then they called me, and that's why I moved to Chicago back in 2006.
Jerry Springer, I think a lot of people know, used to be at one point, the mayor of Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until he was caught paying a sex worker with a check.
You want to hear something even wilder.
Sure.
Is that he wasn't even the mayor yet when that happened.
And he still got elected?
Yes. So he was on the city council from 1971 till 74 when what you're talking about happened.
Yeah.
And he admitted to it. He copped to it. He said, yeah, that was me. I signed those checks. So then he got reelected to city council after that, I guess. People appreciated the honesty. And then in 1977, he was the mayor for 1 year.
So what was his, how did he make the transition from that to being a quote unquote talk show host?
Well, I think, he started off kind of doing segments on an FM rock station in Cincinnati called WBEN. That's like, it's kind of our rock station there.
Yeah,
and I'm not really sure the exact timeline, but from the late 70s until 91, when the Springer Show started, he kind of made the transition. I guess realized his political career was over and got into broadcasting. I'm not sure all the details, though.
But what about, when you joined the show, how long had it been on? How long had it been on?
I worked there in 2006. And so it had been on for 15 years at that point. It was on for,
So you knew what you were getting into.
Oh, yeah. I knew what I was getting into. And a big problem that I ran into, actually, was that the guests also knew what they were getting into. By this point, everyone had heard of Jerry Springer, and anybody who, you know, had any kind of sense of dignity said, absolutely not. I'm not going on the Springer Show. So we had to kind of tell the difference between the people who just really, really, really wanted to be on TV and the people who actually, you know, had some crazy love triangle or something going on. And sometimes people always ask me, was the show real? And I say kind of 50-50 because people would come to us with the scenarios. We wouldn't write scripts out or anything like that. But if someone was kind of making up some details because them and their friends wanted to get on TV, we didn't look into it that closely.
Well, I got to be honest. The episodes that I saw, I would never give the quote-unquote guests the credit for the mental ability to put together any kind of presentation to get them on TV, because they struck me as being some of the most ignorant, stupid people I'd ever seen on television.
Well, you know, I mean, after a while, it's like I said, anyone who has any kind of sense of dignity would not agree to be on the Jerry Springer Show because they knew exactly what it was.
And so did the audience. And I think they were, it's like watching a car, watching an automobile race, waiting for the crash. But in this case, you knew the crash was coming. Because that was like literally part of the format. Like when's the fight going to break out? Because they and then there'd be like this chanting from the crowd. It was like the Romans and the gladiators or something. You know, thumbs up, thumbs down. You know, it's just like, wow. I remember going by the NBC Tower and seeing a long line of people waiting to get into be in the audience for Springer. We're talking to Katie Reif, senior writer of the AV Club and former associate producer of the Jerry Springer Show. And we're using an episode of Vice TV as a springboard because they're taking a look at the 90s and going through, well, not just Springer, but some of the other talk shows that were on. And as Katie mentioned, the Judge shows. And, you know, Donahue was here in Chicago and I think Jenny Jones was here in Chicago. Oprah, obviously. Springer. So we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 19 minutes after 9 o'clock with John Landecker and Katie Reif, senior writer for AV Club and former associate producer of the Jerry Springer Show. You know, I was just thinking, Springer was over at NBC. Donahue did the show at the old CBS studios on McClurg Court. And Oprah, of course, started out at Channel 7, which was ABC. So all three major networks were, at least in some fashion, represented in this onslaught of sensational talk show television in the 90s. Although Oprah was a bit different, and so was Donahue, really. I don't remember either of those shows getting as confrontational as Springer did.
Yeah, they were all varying degrees of, you know, on kind of a spectrum from education to pure exploitation. You know, they were all kind of somewhere on that spectrum. And I think most of them, including Oprah in her earlier days now, you know, she did change her show quite a bit, but early on, Oprah was on that kind of spectrum, you know,
I remember she that had too. It was like everybody get on this bandwagon and Springer, regardless of whether or not you liked it or not, was a big success. The show was a huge, huge success. And, you know, as you know, from working in the business, anything that's a success is going to be copied because that's just the way things go. And the name that comes to mind, though, who's the guy? Maury Povich. When did he come into all of this?
Most of them came about in the late 80s and early 90s. That was really, you know, when the renaissance in talk shows really kind of built up. And it was also around the same time that Springer debuted. The 90s really were the heyday of this type of show. They came out of the sort of tabloid TV of the 80s when you had, you know, Court TV started in the late 70s. Right. And then, you know, you had a hard copy and shows like that. And these kind of talk shows are kind of an outgrowth of that, I think, in terms of, like, the cultural trend.
Springer, I remember, too, just he didn't even pretend that the show was anything other than this lowbrow entertainment. I mean, he just said, yeah, that's us. You know, he didn't put on airs and pretend like he was doing something socially significant.
Well, he would have his final thoughts at the end, which was sort of his attempt to put some sort of moral on what we just saw, even though, you know, like you said, it was really hard to hide that it was just, you know, a modern day freak show in a lot of ways.
So did you guys have a meeting with Springer and discuss upcoming guests and topics?
No, he was not that hands-on. No.
Really?
So he had, he was pretty much just the host. We didn't really run story ideas by him or anything. I shook his hand once. I didn't work for him for very long, but we weren't exactly good buddies.
Right.
So what he had a team of producers that worked for him, and then the associate producers and the PAs would be assigned to different producers. And each producer was responsible for a day of the week. So you would, wow, you know, your show's on Monday, your show's on Tuesday, and so on.
Wow. And then how would one go about getting on the Springer show? What was the process of somebody approaching the program?
Well, if anyone who ever got drunk and thought it would be funny to call the number on the show found out, we called back every single person who called the 1-800 Jerry line.
I forgot.
And I'll tell you what, 90% of the time it was someone, I'd say, "Hi, I'm calling from the Jerry Springer show." And it would go quiet for a second and they'd start laughing and say, "No, really, who is this?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I remember the other night when you called the Jerry Springer show hotline." They'd be like, "No." You'd be like, "Well, you did."
Another drunk call in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but 10% of the time it was someone who, you know, had a story for us, and you would kind of run with that. And the hardest part, like I said, was by the time I worked there, everyone knew what the Jerry Springer show was. This was after the show was the number one talk show in the late 90s, after there was Jerry Springer the Opera in England. Everybody knew what was going on. So the hardest part was my producer specialized in family dramas. So, you know, when you would have like a dysfunctional family come on the show, that was the team that I worked on. And the hardest thing we had is a dysfunctional family. That's 4, 5, 6 or more people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there'd always be one person who said, "Absolutely not. I'm not going on Jerry Springer." So, you know, it was a lot of kind of trying to persuade people to go on the show. And if you could get everyone to sign their waivers, then you were in business.
Yeah, I remember. I forgot all about it. They would throw that number up on the screen. You know, if you have, I forget what the exact verbiage was, but if you have a story to tell and you think you should be on the show, I mean, they all did that to a certain extent.
Yes, they did.
Fishing for guests, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to keep the supply chain running.
Yeah.
You can't run out of people to come on.
Yeah, and this was before, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we had the internet in 2006, but it wasn't the same as it is now where everyone's online all the time.
Right.
Now you would just have people apply online or you'd approach people from social media. But yeah, then we had to rely on people calling in.
What about the violence in the studio with Springer?
Well, that was something that, so what we would do is we would kind of separate the guests before the show, and you'd have two different people. Let's say you have, you know, a brother and a sister who hate each other. One person would hang out with the brother, and the other person would hang out with the sister, and you'd kind of gas them up the whole time about, like, "Oh, my God, I can't believe he did that to you, blah, blah, blah."
Uh-huh, right.
And then you bring him out on the stage, and the audience brings a lot of – the audience really was – it was the comment section before the internet.
Yes, indeed.
It was kind of a proto-comment section. And people in the audience, a lot of them came there, you know, to be mean and to make fun. And
yes.
So you kind of whip people up, and then you take them out on a stage with all these people hooting and hollering. And it would just naturally happen a lot of the time.
But that's when, what was his name? Is his name Steve Wilkos?
Yes, Steve Wilkos.
Who actually got his, does he still have his own show? I mean, he got his own show out of that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I will say this about Steve Wilkos, very nice guy. I remember better than Jerry.
That is,
yeah.
But he was the bouncer, for lack of a better term.
And he did end up getting his own show, like you said. Sorry, go ahead.
Because those people were, you know, would always go after each other at some point. It just was like I said, a Roman circus. It was thumbs up, thumbs down. You know, who can we bring? What crazy act can we bring out next? You know, what are you doing now, Katie? What is the AV Club?
AV Club, we are part of the Onion, the fine Onion family of websites.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you recall when the Onion was a print newspaper, I'm sure a lot of people listening will, because, you know, Chicago. The AV Club used to be the insert in the middle of the Onion that had, like, theater listings and things like that. And it eventually grew into its own arts and entertainment pop culture website. And so I write for them. I mostly write about film.
Write about film. What was it? What is your latest? What film did you write about recently?
Well, last week I wrote a review of a new documentary called Roadrunner that's about Anthony Bourdain, the late celebrity chef.
I just saw something about that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say in a nutshell?
Oh. Well, what I said in a nutshell was that, so the guy that made it is the same guy who made the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Yeah.
And he's really good at making a tearjerker documentary, as anyone who saw the Mr. Rogers doc knows.
Right.
But I think this one, I think maybe Anthony Bourdain kind of had a dark side to his personality, and I don't know if the film really captured, I don't know if the film really knew what to do with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, something was going on there, considering how it all ended. Well, I'll check that out and keep checking it out. Katie, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, this is so fun. Like I said, for a long time, I was embarrassed that I had worked at the Jerry Springer Show, but
now it's, it's a badge of honor.
Right. First it was shame, then it was a good cocktail party story, and now I'm doing interviews.
And part of that Vice documentary.
Exactly.
Thanks, Katie, for being with us. That's Katie Rice, senior writer, AV Club, former associate producer, The Jerry Springer Show. You can catch this whole thing about the 90s and see Katie and a bunch of other people that you'll recognize on Vice. It's their latest episode.